Hello and welcome to another episode of the World Athletics Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow, and as you can see from the title, I'm joined today by Johannes Vetter, the man who's number two on the javelin all-time list, a 2017 world champion, amongst many other things. He spoke a lot about what he gets up to in his private life and how he's been dealing with 2020 and the pandemic, and also life on the circuit in this new normal. So I hope you enjoy the episode. 2020 has been a really weird year for everybody, but you've kind of come out the other side of it in a really good place. How would you summarize the year so far?
Yeah, it was a crazy year. I mean, for all of us, it's been really tough. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete or a normal person working in a hotel, working in a restaurant, in a school as a teacher, or it is tough, yeah. But after the lockdown in Germany and after the competitions have taken place a bit later in the season, I tried to find some new goals for me for the whole season. And so I set like three smaller goals. It was like throwing over 90, getting the German title in the German championship, and being the best in the world list in the javelin, the men's javelin throw. So yeah, and after Turku, after I was throwing the 91, managed all the goals in three competitions, and yeah, then I was coming in a really good flow. You know, it was really easy for me to find the balance between training, competitions, also the balance in the technique. So I was in a really good mood, and then I was just performing week by week, trying my best in the competition. And yeah, it was also like after the last year, after I was struggling with all the issues, I was really happy just to perform, just doing competitions. It was really fun, and makes myself really proud as well. And yeah, that's the reason I think I was throwing that good the whole season.
You kind of touched on it there, but obviously you've had a really good year, but this year has been unlike any other. And in terms of the life on the circuit, with all the having to do constant coronavirus tests, having to be in isolation, having no crowds, what's life on the circuit been like this year?
As I said, it was tough. I mean, I had just one corona test at the Easthub in Berlin 24 hours before the competition. And yeah, the test was, of course, it was negative. Otherwise, I couldn't take place in the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. At the moment, when I see the last season, I was a bit lucky, you know. I had no positive tests, and I don't had to go in the isolation. Also, when the lockdown came in March, April in Germany, I'm training by myself, just with my coach, Boris Oberkfell, here in Offenburg, and I have really good connections to the city parliament. I mean, because I have also a seat there in our city parliament. And I mean, also for, it was quite easy to train by myself with my coach. It was really good managed, and it was handled that we can train. So I had some small restrictions, but not the big ones. So it was also a key point that I was able to throw that far this year as well.
Did you say that you have a seat in your city parliament?
Yeah, I have a seat in my city parliament. We are like 40 people discussing about decisions for the city. And yeah, I'm a member since 2019, and it's a lot of fun to work there. trying to let our city grow up a bit, especially for the sports, because at the moment we have just one international athlete, one successful international athlete with me. I'm trying to find some ways that we can grow up in the future.
Would going into politics and city council sort of thing, would that be interesting to you after your career in athletics?
Not really. Especially also for some higher positions. I had an Insta live interview with Thomas Bach, the president of the IOC, last week. And yeah, I was... It's like that the guys are telling a lot but saying nothing, you know. So and I don't want to be in such a position. I mean, in the city, when it's a little bit smaller, it's easier to find solutions to bring something forward. I think in higher positions it's really tough. And for me it's important to find a good work-life balance, and especially the life balance. And I need some quality in my life, also in the future, also after my career. So I'm not sure what I'm doing after my sports career, we will see, but I'm sure that I'm not going into the politics.
Not one for now. I heard you mention your coach, Boris, who obviously was also a javelin thrower a few years ago, and also his wife was also a really famous javelin thrower in Germany. I was going to ask you about how the German dominance in throwing generally, and especially in the men's javelin, there is so many strong male German javelin throwers, and there's also been really strong female German javelin throwers. Where does it come from?
I think at the moment it's just that we are lucky that we have such a generation. I mean, all of us are at this at the same age, or really close to the same age. I don't know how it looks in 10 or 15 years in Germany, because the youth, I mean, we have some talents and also in the youth in Germany, for the men's and also for the women's javelin throw. I think we have more talents in the women's javelin as in the men's javelin. So I think we are just lucky that we have such a great generation at the moment, and we have a lot of good coaches as well. I mean, all of us train on different places, with different coaches, and Boris is the head coach, and he manage that we all coming together, also for some biomechanic stuff and in the training camps. And I think we speak a lot, the communication is quite good, so it's also a key point that we grow, or that we was growing in the last years that good.
And how did you first meet Boris? When did he first start to coach you?
It was in 2013, in the age of 21. I get an invitation for the first training camp in South Africa, and then I was just coached by him, and I was really surprised how he is coaching. He's like taking all the throws with his camera, and as an former athlete, he really puts all his focus into the athlete, and he can explain in a few different ways. And so in the second training camp in Portugal, also in 2013, I asked him if there is a possibility to train with him in Offenburg, and he said, yes, of course, you can come. I mean, at this time I had an education as a police officer. I I changed to the German army, and since October 2014, I'm training with Boris, and the rest is history.
Wow. And obviously right now with all of you guys in Germany, to almost be the best in Germany, you have to be the best in the world. What's it like having such a strong home competition, even for your national championships?
Yeah, I mean, of course, if you been successful in the German meets, or especially at the German championship, then you know that you are ready for the bigger competitions, for example, for the world championship or for the Olympic Games. As I said, our communication and our relationship is good. I mean, of course, we are competitors, but we also find in the training camp, we find time for ourselves, for just time for the athletes, that we can drink, that we are drinking a beer, or that we going into the sauna, or that we train together as well, and or also that we meet each other at the dinner in the training camps, or especially in the Diamond League meetings. I mean in the summer I see the guys more often than my coach, so you also have to trust them a bit, because I mean, with all the international competitions, it's really difficult to take your coach with you. So sometimes you also have to trust the other German athletes that they can help you in those meetings. And yeah, I think we find a good way between being friends and being competitors.
I was going to say, how important is friendships within the javelin throw for you?
Yeah, of course. I think we have a strong community all around the world. I have a good relationship to all the other international throwers as well. And I mean, of course, in the competition, anybody wants to win, and anybody wants to show their best. But everybody of us has a big respect if our athlete wins a competition. We also can shake hands with each other. Nobody is frustrated. I mean, frustrated by themselves maybe, but it's a really, really good relationship, and it's really respectful as well.
You mentioned it was back in 2013 when you first started training with Boris. When did you first actually realize that being an athlete was a career for you permanently?
I mean, in 2013, when I was still training in Dresden, in my former hometown, I was throwing 79 in the season, and I was the fifth at the German Championship, and I really realized that there are a lot of reserves in my way to grow up. And then I was training with Boris half a year since 2013 in October, and in my first competition I threw 82 meters. So in the first competition I broke the 80 meter mark. I qualified for the world championship, and I was seventh in 2015 in the world championship. I have to say I met Boris in 2014, not in 2013. I switched years, and so quite after a year from the fifth at the German Championship to the seventh at the World Championship, it was such a big step. And then I focused by myself. That was the right decision. And now you're into your in all this stuff, and then you want to. Yeah, you want more and more, and yeah. So I trained with such a big motivation and with a lot of fun. And I mean, Boris is such a great coach, and Then I was improving to the fourth in Rio and with a personal best of 89, and the year after setting a new national record with 94, and was the world champion in 2017. So it was like year by year, it was growing and growing. I was performing and performing, and it's not really that you that it starts. It's like fluently that you're coming into this business, and it's great to being a part of it, and it's great if I realized what happened the last 6-7 years.
I was going to ask as well, you touched on Beijing, which was your first world championships. What was that first international championship experience for you? Obviously, you're really far away from home in a completely new environment on the biggest stage. How nervous were you?
I was not really nervous because I was an underdog, you know. Nobody expected a lot from me. So it was, for me, it was really easy. It was nice to compete with the big guys and with the successful guys, and also to learn of them, to see how they compete. So, of course, I think anybody is a bit nervous, especially in the first world championship. But for me, it was such a great experience. And I was taking a lot of experiences also for the next steps.
And going forward, obviously, in Rio, you came fourth, which, you know, you said was a really great thing for you because you broke your personal best. But at the same time, you were just off an Olympic medal. Did that fuel you going into the next year in 2017?
Of course. I mean, because I'm not a person I'm a person who want to improve and improve year by year. The fourth place in Rio was like, I was not really disappointed. I saw the improvement in those 2 years when I was starting to train with Boris, when I was like starting at the fifth place at the German Championship, getting into seventh place at the World Championship, and being really close to a bronze medal at my first Olympic Games. So I didn't saw like that it was really close to bronze. I saw the improvement, and that's why I was really proud of.
Yeah, and then obviously going forward, even 1 year later in 2017, you were still pretty young to win your first world title. How much did it mean to you to know that you were the best in the world?
It was a crazy time because my mom was she had an operation, a surgery, like 1 week before because of a brain tumor. I was also a bit struggling with my back 1 week before the World Championship starts. But I was really by myself, and I was really sure that I win this title. And of course, when I was winning this title, I was making the round in the stadium, and I was I saw my father in the crowd, and he was like, it was really emotional because my mom was that ill, and it was like a bit of pain, like mental pain, and on the other way, I was really proud, also really happy that my family stands behind me all the last years in such a good way.
I mean, that makes the achievement all the more incredible, knowing everything else that was going on with you in the lead up to that. And you could really see it in your celebrations, the emotion and how much it meant to you. It was a really inspiring moment just to watch as a spectator. Obviously, going into 2018 and 2019, you did have the pressure of being world champion, but also you were having to deal with injury problems and that kind of thing. What's it like as an athlete when you are injured, having to watch other people compete injury-free and you're kind of struggling on the sidelines a bit?
Yeah, I mean, in 2018 and 19, those 2 years were really tough. I mean, my mother gets even more ill, and we know that she will die in we know that she will die, and I had to struggle with some issues. So it was really hard to handle. I mean, the private life is really hard, and your career or your sports life is really, really tough as well. So and then I got this big problems in my left ankle 2 weeks before the Europeans. And I mean, in November 2018, my mother died. In 2019, we tried to find a solution for the left ankle, but it was such a long way to find the main problem. And finally, we found it we found a problem in summer 2019, and I mean, I had not a big competition. I had not a lot of competitions because of the pain, and I was, in 2018 and 19, I was going. I mean, every week I was going to the doctor, getting some injections, trying a lot to handle with the pain, and I was fighting until the World Championship, and after the bronze medal in Doha, and after the surgery 4 days after, I had some time for myself to recover after the surgery, and also for the mental recover, and was a really important time for me. I had some time to realize what happened the last two years, and it helped me a lot also for this year to find my way back into life, to find a new and stronger mentality, and maybe also a different view of the training as well.
How important do you think it is for athletes to be more vocal about things that are going on in their private life? Because obviously a lot of the rest of the world sees you and they see your results, and they don't necessarily know how much injury you're dealing with, or the struggles in your private life, like the loss of loved ones and those kind of things. Do you think mental health awareness for athletes generally should be spoken about more?
It depends. I mean, usually the athletes are also—they are always really strong. It's like that you don't want to show that it's not going that well. You want to show that you are strong. I think that's the one side. The other side is that I'm really sure that a lot of people speak about about their private lives and about private problems. But at the end, it's just interesting how the result is. It's not important what's going on in their private lives.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you said that you kind of took that time out after Doha to kind of take that mental break to give yourself a chance to heal and rebuild again going into the new year. And that clearly worked really well for you, not only physically but mentally. You were throwing the best you've ever thrown, and you actually threw the second longest throw ever in the history of the javelin. Talk me through that day when you... it was in Silesia, right, when you threw the 97 meters. Talk me through that day and how you kind of built up to that moment.
Yeah, I mean, the competition was not that easy at the beginning. I mean, the warm-up throws, they were quite good. But the first two throws it was not bad, but it wasn't really good. And then the third attempt, anything comes together. And I mean, if you realize, you realize that in your throw, and I mean, you can also see it in the emotions directly after the release of the javelin. I was crying because I felt it. I felt that it's being a huge throw. And of course, I mean, it's all the emotions about this year and the two last years, they're coming together, and it's a really strong and intense feeling. It's also that you can give something back to your family, maybe give something back to your mom. You give something back to yourself, and I mean, I think also for the whole society in such crazy times, and of course for your sport and for your discipline.
I was going to say as well, I remember watching the your post-event interview, and you said that you couldn't actually remember throwing the javelin. I don't know. Why do you think that is? Is it just because you are so focused in what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it's like you can feel it, that it's going far, but I could not tell you anything about a throw. If I'm watching the throw on YouTube, it's really difficult to explain. On the one side you know that it's going far, but on the other side it's with all the adrenaline and with all this tension in your whole body, and I mean your brain is going like crazy, and there are a lot of emotions in your head. So that's a reason why you forgot that throw that fast in this moment.
I guess, yeah, there's so many different emotions going around. I guess it just kind of blanks. But obviously you had a really, really great year. And now more than ever, people are talking about world records and that kind of thing. Do you pay attention to any world record conversation, or do you just like to focus on you and the competition, or are you half keeping an eye on a world record?
I mean, I'm getting asked a lot about the world record. So of course I have to answer, but I think for the next year it should not be the first goal. It should not be the goal to break the world record. The goal should be to getting gold in Tokyo. So that's the main goal. And I mean, I try to explain because especially in the javelin, it's really tough to compensate throws like that, or to build up such a high level that you can throw every week over 95 meters. It's really raw, and so it's something. Maybe it will not happen in the future. Maybe I will not throw over 97 or over 98 in the future. It's nothing you can plan. It's something that will happen or will not happen. So of course I'm trying my best also in the training to improve some small things, especially in the technique. At first you have to stay healthy, and then the future will tell how far it will go.
Yeah, I think that's the best mindset to have. You can never, it seems mostly you can't really chase these records. You just got to let them happen. Obviously going through to the next year, it's a big year with the Olympics hopefully happening and going ahead. What is the goal for 2021? Or is it a secret?
Yeah, I mean, the goal is a medal. Of course, the goal is the goal. The biggest goal is the gold medal in Tokyo, and also to stabilize the 90 meter throws, and yeah, to win as much competitions as I can. Mm. And I think the highest goal should be to stay healthy. That's what I have learned in the last 2 years, 3 years. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Johannes, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat. And yeah, best of luck with 2021 and beyond.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Well, it was really nice to talk with you.
So that's the end of this episode of the World Athletics Podcast. But as always, if you want to follow us to get any more athletics related news, it's at World Athletics on all platforms. And of course, there's way more episodes for you to enjoy on the World Athletics YouTube channel.